You're listening to Gillespie, Excellence in Internet Radio, only on FTRradio.com. And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. It is another Tuesday in Excellence. I want to welcome you all to this glorious evening. Our guests this evening are Congressman Paul Gosar of the 1st Congressional District of Arizona. We're going to be talking to Congressman Gosar about the SCOTUS decision on SB 1070 out in Arizona. And then coming up after that, we'll be talking with Sherilyn Harley-Laban about everything that is going on so far the first couple days here of the week, and then what is going to be happening in the rest of the week. We're going to get her impression on Obamacare, immigration, Fast and Furious, and how this is just basically turning into one giant crap load for the administration. Speaking of crap loads, with me this week, as usual, is Mark Warner. is Mark Warner. How you doing, Mark?
Yeah. You feel it, baby?
It's that time again. The time where we bring the best from the Midwest and Rhino goodness. He's cute. He's cuddly. He won't take a position to save his life. It's Mark Warner!
We came here at 6 o'clock in the morning, 5:30 to see them, and all they do is push you farther and farther away. And then they don't even let you see them.
I want to go to bed, Josh. I'm tired.
Oh, you baby.
It's all your fault.
You're always tired. Can you never not be tired? And can you ever get your Skype connection to actually work?
Dude, my Skype is working fine. Has been. For some reason tonight, it won't dial out. And it won't... Yeah, just... Anyway.
Whatever, dude. Whatever.
Don't whatever me.
I'll whatever you if I want. Anyway, so what's up with
don't
you, Mark?
Don't make me send that other photo I sent to you earlier just out of spite.
I love inside jokes. Anyway, how you doing tonight, Mark?
I'm all right, Josh.
You all right? You all right? How's the local political scene, national political scene? How's it all affecting you? Maybe we shouldn't talk about the local political scene.
I wish I was in Vegas drinking lots of booze in the bourbon room and smoking cigars right now.
Wait a minute. Are you sure you're not real, Warner? I mean, I swear the whole conversation last week, you were arguing with yourself, right? Because you're sounding just like...
I'm not real in Warner. I don't know who that douchebag is, and honestly, I don't care.
You know...
I know I toned his ass last week, and that's all that matters.
You know, last week's segment between you and Real Warner, easily the best segment on FTR in a long time. So says the ED of FTR Radio,
Erectile
Mr. Thomas LeDuc.
Thomas LeDuc?
Thomas LeDuc, yes, the ED, affectionately known as the
ED. The Erectile Dysfunctional Thomas LeDuc?
You... ED could also mean executive director, Mark, but I'm sure when people hear ED, the first thing that comes to their mind is what you said.
Yeah, well, I'll get my ass chewed for that one. I don't care. He'll be like, now, Mark, princess, listen.
Now, he said you, like, apparently you do an impression of him.
Yeah, just tonight's not that night.
Tonight's not that night. I'm waiting for that.
Eichlin wants it done now. But it's not going to happen. Well, anyway, who else do we have on the line tonight?
I don't know. You tell me.
Pain in my ass this whole episode.
You told me that there is going to be another surprise guest.
Who
do we have on the hotline tonight?
Tina Dragic.
Cinnamon.
Why did you book her, Josh?
Wait. What? How did he break me?
Never mind. Just what? Why are you calling in tonight, Hannah? What do you want?
Well, welcome. First of all, welcome to the show, Hannah.
Thank you, Josh.
It's only been since the week before Vegas that we had you on the show.
I know. I'm so popular.
You've probably been on the show more this month than Mark Warner has.
That's not tracking, because he's, like, never on the show.
Really? You hate bacon.
I don't care that I hate bacon. I could do a better job than you do.
Go back to Canada, you hippie.
Well, you know, Rachel Veronica actually thought that I was from Canada.
That was glorious.
That was not cool.
That was glorious, is what that was.
That was actually kind of funny.
That was absolutely...
I actually bought her a drink for that one.
I feel like I owe Rachel a drink for that one, too.
Wow. You guys just, wow.
Wow. It's like a female version of Mark is on the line.
Dude, seriously?
What you just said could have come out of her mouth, and I couldn't tell the difference.
Let's ask Hannah the $100 question.
That's more than our budget can
$100. So if I win, what do I get?
Nothing.
You don't get nothing if you win or lose.
You might get $100
question.
You might get Mark's job. Anyway, what's the question, Mark?
Question is, today I found out, well, I didn't find out today that Hannah hates bacon.
No, that's, we've all known
that's
that.
Not late breaking news.
No, she's a hummus. Wait. She's a hummus She is a hummus loving hippie from Canada.
But the question is, do you hate sweet tea?
Yes.
What?
You hate sweet tea?
Yes.
Oh my God.
I believe in drinking black tea, black coffee, the whole nine yards. Don't sweeten it up. I'm sweet enough.
No. Can we kick her out of the country now? No bacon, sweet tea? Seriously?
The reason this come up, Josh, is because one of our other mutual friends, Josh Gillespie, doesn't like sweet tea.
I like sweet tea. I just don't drink it.
I know. I'm talking about one of our other mutual friends.
Wait, aside from cinnamon?
Yes. You need to check my Twitter feed.
Oh, geez. Is this fairly recent? Because
it's fairly recent. It was tonight.
Oh, geez. Because I feel like...
And look at the response.
Mark, I'm checking right now. Who is it?
Yeah, because I have to go sift
it's
through
Brittany
things.
Brittany Cohan.
What?
Yes, Josh. I know, it's disappointing.
Brittany Cohan?
Go to her Facebook page, man. She is, like, Moy and I called her out.
Is she, like, virulent against sweet tea, much like Hannah Drazich is against bacon?
I'm not against...
Do you like bacon?
Is she militant in her hatred for sweet tea?
She doesn't like apple pie either, Josh.
Brittany?
I like apple pie.
But she likes baseball. I don't get this.
What? Who are you talking about?
All I'm saying is you hate sweet tea, and this is a problem.
You know what? This is my problem with a lot of people, is they can't accept the fact that everybody's different. And everybody has their own opinions and their own preferences. So just accept that. You're not going to change me.
No.
Sweet tea and bacon is America.
That is America. That is basically how you spell America.
So is Ron Paul's fish sticks in the Constitution, but you don't like them, so...
Did you just admit that you're rolling 1 or 003?
Oh, wait a minute.
No, I did not admit any such thing, because my voice does not sound anything like that voice from last week.
Well, the thing is, Hannah, is that we had Real M. Warner dial in on a special line. That had, an effect on the voice, so that we don't know who called in. So you very well could be Real M. Warner 003, and you just ratted yourself out. Right here on Gillespie, Hannah Drazich has admitted she is the genius behind Real M. Warner 003.
If you go back and read all of that, or re-listen to all of that, I did not admit any such thing. I am not Real M. Warner 0003.
You just professed your love for Ron Paul and fish sticks. You hate bacon.
And the Constitution.
I work with a bunch of libertarians. I'm surrounded by them. They're slowly rubbing off on me.
Oh, so you're admitting your love for Ron Paul and libertarianism. Oh my goodness.
No,
ladies
I
and gentlemen.
Don't love it.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is we're blowing the lid wide open on Real M. Warner 003 tonight. It is Hannah Drazich.
I thought, you know, this whole hating of sweet tea just bothers me.
I
bet if you asked Real M. Warner 003 right now if they like sweet tea, they would probably say yes.
Josh?
Because you know what? I'm going to ask that right now.
Here's the thing. This is how Hannah likes to decipher herself from Real M. Warner and herself, is that she claims to not like bacon or sweet tea, and... In an attempt to cover herself, she will have Real M. Warner say that he loves, or she loves, sweet tea and bacon.
How is that possible?
Possible?
No, it's not. So I am not.
This is what we call cover.
So let me ask this. So are you telling me, if you ask Rilly Moore 003 if he loves sweet tea, he'll say yes or no? What is it?
Yeah,
I don't know what they will say.
How are they going to
respond? I'm not it.
Hannah, how is Rilly Moore going to respond?
I don't know.
I cannot see
into the future.
Just tell us.
What do you think?
You control the account. I mean, why don't you just tell us?
I do not control the account. I have no way to respond to that. Maybe you should respond, Josh.
No, I have nothing to respond to.
I'm just asking. Do you think he or she loves sweet tea or hates sweet tea?
Probably likes it if it's anything like Mark.
Hmm. I'm not alone in my love for sweet tea.
What? No, you're not. No, he's not. No, there are millions of true red-blooded Americans who love sweet tea and
bacon.
You know
what? I'm a Yankee from Northern Indiana. We don't drink sweet tea.
Did you just say Indiana people don't drink sweet tea?
I said Northern Indiana.
I'm pretty sure people in Northern Indiana drink sweet tea. I'm pretty sure
that many.
Anyway,
did you just say Northern Indiana people don't drink sweet tea?
She did, but I'm going to have to cut her off.
Because I have proof. Hold on.
We've come to the end of the segment here, and we're on a time crunch. We can continue this next week, all right? And real Hannah Drazich 0003 can defend herself, all right? But coming up next, stick around, everybody, because we have a killer segment. Coming up next is Representative Paul Gosar, 1st Congressional District of Arizona. We'll be talking SCOTUS and the immigration law, as well as some Fast and Furious. Stick around. We're coming up with a lot more here on Gillespie. You're listening to FTRradio.com. Something moving, feeling new.
FTR Radio is from the right radio. Online at FTRradio.com.
Welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. Well, as many of you heard on Monday, the Supreme Court laid out several decisions, but the one that we were all waiting for, healthcare reform, well, we're going to have to wait until Thursday until the Supreme Court decides to let the cat out of the bag on that one. But one of the major decisions that they came out with on Monday was the ruling on Arizona's contentious immigration law, SB 1070. With us to talk about SB 1070 is Arizona Congressman from the 1st Congressional District, Representative Paul Gosar. Congressman Gosar, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Josh?
I'm doing just fine. Well, the High Court definitely made kind of a point known today, but everyone was claiming victory. But yet, I think a lot of us who are watching it are kind of figuring out how are people claiming victory on either side. Just to kind of recap here real quick, the Supreme Court struck down three provisions in Arizona's law, including making it a crime for illegal aliens to seek work, making a requirement for them to carry documents, as well as tossing out the warrantless arrest of illegals. However, the United States Supreme Court left in place a central plank of the law that requires local law enforcement during routine stops to check the immigration status of anyone they suspect in this country, suspect to be in the country illegally. First of all, what was your response to the Supreme Court's decision?
Well, I was cautiously optimistic when I heard it. And, we were a little bit taken back that they struck down the other three. But after reading the ruling, we're very optimistic that now those three rulings, basically, the court basically said that Congress needed to further define that. And we're committed to trying to make that happen and embrace a collaborative working environment between the federal, state, county, and local communities' enforcement of immigration law.
Well, how do you feel exactly about a cooperation there? I know that President Obama has came out recently this year, or it may have actually been later, towards the end of last year, but basically saying that he wanted to make immigration reform a central plank of at least the rest of this term. Maybe even he may have been presuming ahead that he may get a second term. But at the same time, the federal government has been kind of, in recent years, they've definitely been lax in enforcing immigration law, especially in Arizona, to the point that the state legislature there felt that they had to go this route. So do you think that the federal government will be able to step up their duties in their enforcement?
Well, I'm taken back because today there was also another ruling from Homeland Security that they were going to rescind 287 funding from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a sad state of affairs, that what they're doing is retaliating against Arizona for actually trying to come up with a solution. And I think that's what people really want to see, is a solution. People are defined and have the ability should ask for a secure border, and we should be able to have that. And I think that this administration has also gone after people that have tried to enforce that, like Sheriff Joe Arpaio and Paul Babiou, those that have really tried to make a reputation in regards to upholding the law. I think this administration has been more fanfare and trying to avoid, and the recent executive decision by the president shows you exactly how much despise he actually has for Congress because of his executive order.
Do you think that Congress will get to work as soon as possible on an immigration reform bill, or do you think that this will become something more of a campaign issue down the line, and something we might see play out maybe in the next session of Congress, depending on who the president might be?
It's a campaign. This is a campaign stunt by the president, Josh, because there's no way that uniformed full immigration reform can actually happen. It just will not be possible, especially with the polarity that the president has created by overstepping his ability of Congress, and then I think the rift that lies between the Democratic leadership in particular with Republican leadership.
Mm-hmm. Well, I
just don't think that's going to happen.
I'm in agreement with you. At the same time, slightly concerned just because of how porous our border has been. And I know that Arizona has definitely taken steps. I know that that they've definitely been making this an issue in Texas. Congressman Lamar Smith has made this one of his primary issues. And it seems as if this ruling was actually somewhat popular, although contentiously popular, but still somewhat popular in the state of Arizona. The Washington Post, according to The Fix, actually said that they came out with a poll today under the headline "Sharp Divides on Immigration Law." But they say broadly the American public is supportive, especially of SB 1070, and nearly 6 in 10 in a recent Pew Research Center poll said they approve the law. That's nationwide. Now, how come when we have 60% of the population, probably more, I'm going to guess that the number is probably close to 60, it could be more, it could be less, but it's definitely more than 50% of the country, they're supportive of stricter immigration laws, but nothing that prevents people from becoming citizens. You know, we still want people to become citizens of this country. We just don't want them coming here illegally. And it seems like Democrats, as soon as they hear restriction, automatically their alarms go off and say, well, you're just trying to prevent anyone from coming into this country. And they try to make it some sort of racist issue. Bob Beckel was doing that on The Five earlier today when he used the term brown people when he was talking about how this one particular provision that the Supreme Court left intact. You know, they said, well, this is just an effort for police to pull over brown people. And I'm like, and Dana Perino and the other lady who I forget, unfortunately, who is on the show today, they say, absolutely not, this is not the case. This is about prosecuting those or taking care of those who are here illegally, who are breaking the law. This has nothing to do with skin color. So,
absolutely.
So how can, I guess what, am I, what I'm saying is, when there is overwhelming support in this country for what Arizona has done, how come Congress doesn't respond in kind? And I guess specifically, we're looking at Democrats here, because I have a feeling that, you know, Republicans will get on the ball here, but we'll probably see a stalemate.
Well, if you look, Josh, at the principal, one of the principal duties of Congress is to pass a budget. Look at the ineptitude of the Senate and Harry Reid and the leadership there. So if we can't even pass, you know, the articulation of a budget, how can we actually come up with this when all we see is the rhetoric that you just outlined and explained about immigration? Because it isn't about skin color. Because when we articulate a message of having a secure border, that's not only our southern border, it's our northern border, it's our eastern and western ports. You've got to have that all the way across the board. And that's what's so frustrating is, you know, as a freshman, as a businessman, as a healthcare provider, prior to coming to this scenario, I knew government was dysfunctional. I just didn't realize how dysfunctional it really is and how what kind of gamesmanship has actually gone in, you know, particularly from leadership on the Democratic side and the president. Mm-hmm. You know, what a marvelous time we could have had here to have solutions, because I'm a believer that when things are this greatest disarray, there's the greatest opportunity for change. But what it needs is somebody with vision, somebody who leads by example, that brings all parties together and is willing to shape that future by working with people. You don't have a leadership like that. You got a joke.
Absolutely. We are talking with Congressman Paul Gosar, who represents the 1st District of Arizona. We've been talking with Representative Gosar about the Supreme Court decision on immigration, on Arizona's immigration law. Congressman, do you... I guess, and I know I've already said this, but there has, coming back again to if we'll see Congress act this year, I know that at least within Republican circles, there has been even contention on exactly how far an immigration law should go. Some want it to be extremely strict, and, you know, they're not calling for, we've lost the Tom Tancredos of the world who say round them all up and ship them off. That's just impossible. But it seems like any time a member of Congress leaves open the door, I guess in their rhetoric, that for anything that can be construed as quote-unquote amnesty, there is just a wild howl across the country of we cannot allow this. And it seems like even within Republican circles, we can't get... A solid piece of immigration legislation even passed out of the House. In your mind, what do you see as a solid piece of immigration legislation? What would you like to see, I guess is what I'm asking. What would you like to see come out of Congress in terms of addressing our border issue?
Well, the first thing we've got to do, Josh, is we've got to secure the border. Mm-hmm. Establish trust. I've always learned that trust is a series of promises kept. And the American people are tired of hearing the rhetoric out of Washington, D.C. And so in order as a problem solver, the first thing you have to do is you have to stop the water flow that's coming in. You have to define your problem. Mm-hmm. You can't even define our problem on how many people are actually here. That's what's critical here, is secure the border first. Establish trust with the American people so that you know who comes in and who's leaving. And then start quantifying this. This is not a one-size-fits-all type of a model. This is one that what we have to do is we have to do it in levels. And I think there's a priority scheme that comes with it. Mm-hmm. The first thing is secure the border, then define what the problem is and how you're going to look at the people that are here. But it all starts with the fundamental principle of securing the border, or borders, I should say.
Sure. No, exactly. Exactly. Well, I want to switch gears here a bit on you. Because you happen to serve on the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and obviously that has been in the news the last couple months, with the contempt charges against Attorney General Eric Holder, as the Oversight Committee last week passed on a partisan line, with a partisan line that I happen to agree with, contempt charges against Attorney General Eric Holder. And first of all, I guess for the person, the average person who is looking at what is happening there, the question that happens to cross their mind is, what is going on here? Why is the Attorney General withholding documents?
Well, the real thing for listeners out there, why this is so contentious, because major media has not carried it, is our government put guns in the hands of criminals and international thugs and drug cartels. And what they did is then they stopped any proper law enforcement tool, tracking and surveillance, that would be done on these guns. And so what ended up happening is, to our knowledge, Congress's knowledge, over 200 or 2,000 guns were given to criminals that will show up at crime scenes in our backyard. And in the case of this would have gone on and on and on, except for one of our border agents was actually killed by one of these guns. And over 300 Mexican people have lost their lives to these guns. This complicates the immigration issue and our relationship with the Mexican government. And what's happened is Congress understands what's going on, or at least has gotten a tidbit of it. We already know that there is lying occurring in upper-level parts of the Department of Justice, saying that they didn't know anything about it, and they did, and they have the emails to prove it. And the Department of Justice under Eric Holder decided to try to cover this up. Now, what they've done is they have an inspector general that has been able to look at almost 140,000 pages and unprecedented documentation to witness it. And Congress, in its due diligence of oversight of the justice part of government, has asked to review those, and they have refused. And they've given us about 6,000 pages, about a little under 7,000. Most of them are from another process or program that was under the Bush administration that was terminated in 2007 that worked with the Mexican government. But what they've shied away from is giving us that information and the details. So what we're trying to do is trying to find out who authorized this, who is responsible for this, put a checks and balances in there, and then hold those that are responsible to the letter of the law. That's how we have to redefine trust with the American people and the Mexican people. But Eric Holder refuses to give us that information. In fact, in Univision earlier last year, President Obama said he found out about it, that he wasn't involved in it, but yet he still gives an executive order that prohibits that information from being given. Now, what that basically says is either the president was involved from day one, or he's covering up, or Eric Holder has been lying the whole time. So we've got a problem between our two highest-ranking people, our president and our attorney general. Mm-hmm. And we haven't got the information to find out who exactly is at cause here, and it cost one of our own citizens their lives.
Well, this seems like it's damaging the president's credibility, and not just with Republicans. Obviously, he hasn't had much credibility with us to begin with, but this is starting to drift across independent lines. According to the Daily Caller, a new poll that was released by The Hill that was conducted by Rasmussen shows a clear majority of likely voters nationwide believe that President Barack Obama is overreaching with his assertion of executive privilege over Fast and Furious documents. And 56% of likely voters nationwide disapproved of Obama's assertion of executive privilege, and 61% of independents disapproved of the president's actions. This seems to be spiraling out of control with the president. And also, according to the Daily Caller, Matthew Boyle of the Daily Caller is apparently saying that there could be a smoking gun by a single internal Department of Justice email. If it turns out to contain what congressional investigators have said it does, and they say this document would establish that wiretap application documents show senior DOJ officials knew about and approved the gun-walking tactic in Fast and Furious, which is something that Attorney General Holder and actually Oversight Committee ranking Democratic member Congressman Elijah Cummings have claimed. And then BuzzFeed came out today and said that released a story that says the White House has been warned not to delete quote-unquote leak emails, and that the investigation into unauthorized disclosure of classified information or as it, the investigation continues, White House staffers have been warned not to delete any emails or destroy other information that could be pertinent to investigators. This is huge.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, really, this it's. I feel like, you know, Drudge playfully last week used kind of a morphed image of President Nixon and Barack Obama together. But could it? Could this? I mean, in the eyes of the Oversight Committee or just in Congress in general, is this something that, I mean, this goes beyond, truly could go beyond the Department of Justice, and this could really take down, not take down, but I mean, could really be a very bad spot on the administration?
Well, this is horrible. You know, in Watergate, no one was killed. It was just about some documents, somebody's ego not trusting and stealing some documents. This is worse, Josh. This is what I call this administration's Bordergate. Because we have a border agent that's dead. We have over 300 Mexican people who have lost their lives to these guns. And we still don't know. And there's 1,400 guns that are unaccounted for that will end up at crime scenes in Arizona and the Southwest. And the only way we'll find them is at those ends of those crime scenes. It could be a rape. It could be a drug deal gone bad. It could be a murder. It could be a gun assault on our law enforcement. This is how hideous this situation is. And I've been one that's always said from day one that the Attorney General has had to have some oversight. In April of 2009, this Attorney General goes to Mexico City, and he talks about an aggressive gun-running program that he's going to run, that he's orchestrating with Secretary of Homeland Security Janet Napolitano. A week later, the President comes up and validates that he's supporting Eric Holder in this mission, and that 90% of all guns found at crime scenes come from America. This is an outright exaggeration and a lie. Mm-hmm. The best we can find out by independent sources is 17% of guns at crime scenes in Mexico come from the United States. And that's because we actually detail our guns with registration and serial numbers. And anything that is found at a crime scene in Mexico is actually sent back to the United States, even if it doesn't even have a serial number. So it's about 17%. So they were orchestrating this. Even Eric Holder was making, they were making internal memos to have him come out to Arizona when they triumphantly had this taken care of and done. We know in emails that we already have in possession of that Lanny Brewer, Jason Weinstein, Grindler, all knew about the shuffling of 1,500 guns, the details of this, as early as April of 2010, maybe even earlier. Uh-huh. The problem is we haven't been given those details about all the documentation behind it. That's the stonewalling that has occurred. This is just a matter of putting the dots together because we already have somebody in the DOJ that has lied about their involvement. And if you'll take the Attorney General himself, in May of last year when he testified in front of Oversight, he said that maybe he heard, that the first time he heard about Fast and Furious was a couple of weeks before then. Well, then the Univision television interview with President Obama comes out, and he acknowledges it in March. Mm-hmm. And the Attorney General says, oh, yeah, I knew it back then. And then we now know that when Border Agent Terry was killed, they were notified instantly about the death, and they were asking about guns at this shooting. So this is a huge aspect. This is a total violation. So it's not just about paper. This is about personal property, their lives on the line here. And we still don't even know when we'll all find these. That's mm-hmm. how hideous and heinous this action is. And we were used, the American people and the Mexican people were used as collateral, and this is type of plot.
Well, we've run out of time, but before we let you go, the vote, the House vote to hold Attorney General Holder in contempt of Congress is scheduled for this Thursday. Do you think this vote actually goes down, or do you think that the Attorney General finally caves in?
No, I think the vote goes through. I think what has happened here is they have locked it up for the president to do executive privilege here means that there is something there, and they're going to lock them up and try to make sure that this goes beyond the election cycle. as a freshman, and I hope all, and I speak for myself, but I know that the sentiment for most of the freshmen is that it's not good enough for him to deliver some of those documents before Thursday's vote. It's all of them, and they have to be early so that we can document that what we asked for is what we've got. Mm-hmm. So I believe this is going to go. I'll also tell people that once this goes to the U.S. Attorney's Office, they're going to create a log of all these documents, and then the administration is going to have to say why each document on that docket will be privileged. That will be some kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That will be some kind of interesting.
Definitely.
So, you know, step in, folks. You know, the thing that we got to do in America is make sure the bureaucrats and people that are in these types of positions are held to the same letter of the law that we are. We could never get away with this. And neither should the Attorney General nor the President or anybody in the Department of Justice. It's not right. It's not American. And they will be held to the letter of the law.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Congressman Paul Gosar, of the 1st Congressional District in Arizona. Congressman Gosar, thank you for your time.
Anytime you like, we'd love to talk, and thank you for keeping this in the media.
Stay tuned for more Gillespie coming up next. We'll be talking with Sherrilyn Harley-Lebon of Fox News and townhall.com.
Meet me when I say you'll be last to know. Liar schemes and soul machines will hang me from my rope.
And welcome back to Gillespie here on FTRradio.com. With us this segment, one of our favorites on the show. You know her from Fox News and from townhall.com. She is a definitely one of the best legal analysts out there. Sherrilyn Harley-Lebon. How you doing, Sherrilyn?
I am great, Josh. So great to be with you this evening.
Oh, man. Sherrilyn, the reason why we're having you on, one, because you obviously always bring tremendous perspective to the show. But there is so much going on this week in Washington. It is overload. We just finished up our conversation with Congressman Paul Gosar of Arizona. We talked about Fast and Furious and about the SCOTUS immigration ruling. But I want your take on... I want your take as well on the immigration ruling and before we get to that, were you surprised that the court pushed back health care until Thursday?
No, I was not surprised at all. I am full receiver and counsel of the Senate Judiciary Committee, so part of my job during that tenure was to watch the Supreme Court. I mean, we were always, you know, sitting by the TV, waiting for decisions to come down. So I've been there, done that, and, you know, the court marching to the beat of its own drum.
Mm-hmm.
So you just never know. I mean, I was told by, a well-informed media source that for sure, the health care decision was coming down today. And look it, it's not coming down until Thursday. And you know what? It may not come down on Thursday. You just never know. Because they hold their cards so close to the chest at the Supreme Court that we will always be left, you know, sort of caught by surprise with the Supreme Court. That's the way they operate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way they operate, and they keep things interesting. That is for sure.
Well, they most definitely do, and especially in regards to some of the Obama administration priorities and stances
right.
that they've taken on particular issues, they kind of dealt a bit of mixed cards. One with basically handing another victory towards Citizens United, basically on the state level.
Right.
And then with
Montana.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then with the immigration decision that everyone is claiming victory, but no one really knows, really, who is victorious here?
Well, okay, I think it's important to talk about just for a few minutes is how we got to this point of the Arizona decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jan Brewer, remember, she had asked the feds to help her out. I mean, Arizona, the state of Arizona, has one of the worst border situations of all the states.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, many people argue they're in the worst situation, right? They've got murders happening at the border. They've got unbelievable violence. I mean, Jan Brewer had a very bad situation there.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't getting much help from the federal government. She appealed to the federal government and said, listen, all I need you to do is just enforce the rules on the book. Mm-hmm. They ignored her. So yeah. What did Jane Brewer do? She came up with her own laws. And remember, Josh, let's not forget that I believe that it is President Obama's failure to provide any leadership in terms of a long-term immigration solution,
mm-hmm.
which really got us to the point of where we are with the decision today and got us to the point of where Jane Brewer found herself in her state, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the Arizona's immigration law is in no small part a response to the federal lack of leadership and this administration's lack of leadership. Because
mm-hmm.
as you remember, during the campaign in 08, you know, President Obama said, you know, immigration, you know, I'm going to work on a comprehensive immigration law and what? Cricket, as usual.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that he was going to work on, this is what you've got.
Yeah,
right?
I remember that speech down by the wall.
He promised to present a plan on immigration his first year in office.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still waiting for that plan. And states like Arizona were bearing the brunt of the president's broken promises. And that is a fact, Josh. That is a fact. And instead of devoting resources, you know, just, you know, instead of devoting resources to coming up with a plan and securing our borders, they're now suing states like Arizona,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
And that, this is how they're spending their time. So I think it's important for people to understand how we got to the point of where we are, okay?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's how we got to that point. So what the court has said is, you know, the 3 out of the 4 provisions were struck down. But here's what was upheld, which is the most important thing, and which I think which Jane Brewer is pretty happy about,
mm-hmm.
is they upheld the part that's going to allow law enforcement officials to question the immigration status of anyone they arrest or stop for questioning. The court upheld that.
Yeah, but Cheryl Lynn, and, does that have any teeth? Because as soon as the court...
I think it does.
But
I mean, although the issue is going to be sent back to the appeals level to allow for, you know, further challenges, and I'm not sure if you heard that immediately DOJ is setting up the civil rights hotline for people who feel, you know, their civil rights are being violated.
I did not hear about that, but I heard about DHS. I mean, they've already started pulling basically all resources and funding out of Arizona. That if the local law enforcement pulls people over and they feel that, and the local law enforcement feels like they have someone who is there illegally on their hands and should be deported, that basically it is up to ICE's purview or the other federal agencies there. It's up to them to decide whether they even want to pursue it or not.
Right. So basically what they're trying to do is hamstrung Arizona.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they're doing.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
And that's why I question whether it even has teeth.
Well, I think still, I think the fact that law enforcement isn't going to stand, isn't going to have a constitutional challenge on the fact that if they suspect something,
mm-hmm.
they suspect someone, and they have the right to ask them their immigration status, I think that's pretty key.
Yeah.
Because considering the situation in Arizona with this porous border and all the violence, you know, people are just going back and forth and across that border, Josh. And it's a terrible situation in Arizona. That's exactly why she did what she did.
I know.
Because
her hands
were tied.
And the Pew Research Center came out with a poll today that said 60% of Americans favor the Arizona immigration law. Well, 6 out of 10.
I mean,
6 out of 10 of everyone who is polled. But I mean,
right.
So, but still, you know, 60% of Americans are in favor of the immigration law.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean,
you know, Josh, I think that, you know, this empowers the law enforcement officials. And, we'll see if it has teeth, because guess what? Mm-hmm. This is something that we're going to figure out pretty quickly, Josh.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
This is definitely going to be a campaign issue.
But think about it. This is the daily life of law enforcement officials in Arizona. They live this, Josh. Mm-hmm. We're sitting up here talking about this. These people live this. They live this violence every day.
Yeah.
So if it's, in fact, hogwash is not going to have any teeth, I'm telling you, Josh, we'll figure that out pretty quickly, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We will have it figured out pretty quickly. Yeah. So I'm not too worried about that. I think that's the least of the problems in Arizona right now.
All right. Well, we're talking with Sherilyn Harley Laban. Sherilyn, obviously the other big news coming out of Washington right now is the whole Fast and Furious investigation. Attorney General Eric Holder has had contempt charges brought against him. The House is probably going to be voting on it this Thursday as well. I mean, with Supreme Court coming out with health care on Thursday, Attorney General Holder being getting contempt charges, contempt of Congress charges passed against him in the House. This is just looking like a really terrible week for the Obama administration.
It is. It is. Actually, if you ask me, I think it's been a terrible 3.5 years. Here's something else I think it's important to talk to your readers about, because I think people, when we're talking about what is politically motivated, blah, blah, blah. Let's break this down to the facts. This situation of Fast and Furious is dating back to 2009.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 2009. We've had, I don't know what the number we're at, of the number of guns that have been lost.
Mm-hmm. Congressman Gosar said it was 2,000. I thought I had heard up to 3,000. Either way, it's a huge number.
Yeah, I have heard, believe it or not, the number varying anywhere between 2,000 and 4,000.
Wow.
I mean, it's a large, obviously, number of guns that have gone missing.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, so dating back to 2009, we've got this large number, let's just say several thousand guns are missing.
Mm-hmm.
And before I get to the worst part, which I think is the most important here. And then you've got ISA and his committee, and DOJ and Eric Holder have been doing this dance now for a good year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these hearings, this situation has gone on for a good year. And to ICE's credit, they've been very patient with DOJ and Eric Holder. They have been quite patient, okay? They have withstood stonewalling. They have, listened to them make endless excuses about why they can't turn documents over. And most importantly, to me, that completely just throws their argument that this is politically motivated,
mm-hmm.
is we have lives that have been lost, okay? So for me, that's where we draw the line. Lives have been lost. Agents are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Someone needs to be held accountable, Josh.
Exactly. Okay?
This is not politically motivated. Somebody has lost their son. Someone has lost a dad. I think this Mr. Terry was married and had a family. I'm not quite sure, but as we know, he does have parents. Because the parents, obviously, were interviewed on Fox last week. And these parents deserve an answer as to really what happened to their son.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, when we talk about the politically motivated, no. This is about lives being lost. Lives being lost. And this isn't about, this isn't some political, this isn't a game. Somebody lost their life doing their job because somebody else screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And people deserve to know who dropped the ball and who wasn't doing their job that caused this man to lose his life in the line of duty.
Exactly.
And that's why I don't think this was politically, this isn't a politically motivated situation. This is a situation where the Attorney General of the United States needs to start answering questions and stop stonewalling and stop hiding behind executive privilege. And again, I might add, if one wanted to assert executive privilege, you would think he would have asserted it a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
Why is all of a sudden he asserting it now?
Exactly. I don't want to throw conspiracy theories out, but I mean, honestly, you do something like that and you're giving the impression, regardless of whether you're doing it or not, you're giving the impression you're hiding something.
Exactly. And you know that, as you know, Josh, that's what's always kind of the crux of the entire issue, is the cover-up.
Yep.
And that's what everybody's worried about now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cover-up. It's the cover-up. What exactly are they hiding? Why is it now they're asserting executive privilege at the 11th hour? What kind of nonsense is this? What are they hiding? What are they hiding?
Who knows? I want to know. And I think everybody wants to know because The Hill came out with a poll today conducted by Rasmussen that says that Obama and Holder, they are losing the argument here. I mean,
the whole
cover up. It is. They are losing the argument, and
they're losing it.
I have never seen. I mean, honestly, this is. And I was on John Brodigan's show over the weekend, Hit Whiskey Rebellion Radio, and I said, you know, on there that, you know, for Mitt Romney to win the presidency, I honestly thought it would take a perfect storm. And
we've got several perfect storms, Josh.
It's brewing. It is brewing, Sherilyn. It is brewing. You know,
we've got several perfect storms. I mean, let's bring up something else here. Okay, let's talk about this immigration rule that came out now, what, the week before last. Okay, so now you have a group of people who were brought here by their parents, obviously as a minor, who are now going to be eligible to work legally in the United States for 2 years, okay? So they estimated 800,000 people, okay? 800,000 people are now going to be joining legally the workforce, okay? We're at 8.2 unemployment, and that's only what Bureau of Labor Statistics says. We know the number is much higher,
mm-hmm.
right? You have 23 million people unemployed. Again, we know the number is much higher. 38.2% of black teens in this country are unemployed. 50% of all new graduates and graduate students say they're either unable to find a job or having trouble finding jobs. In my state of Virginia, the employment rate between 16 and 19-year-olds is the lowest since World War II.
Wow.
Since my grandpa's age. So my question to you, Josh, is these 800,000 people that are joining the workforce, where are they going to work?
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? And to me, this point, this is a perfect example and points right back to this administration and just numerous failed policies. What have you been doing for 3.5 years? What have they been doing? Before you start doing this 11th hour immigration rule, mm-hmm. before you start doing health care, before you start calling the guy in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood guy, and wishing him congratulations, why can't you work on the economy and jobs? That should have been the first thing he did when he was sworn in on January 20th, 2009,
mm-hmm.
is get going on a jobs program. But instead, he messed around with all this other stuff.
Yep.
And now he's telling everyone, give me 4 more years. To do what? To do what? Now you've got 800,000 people joining the workforce, and there are no jobs.
Mm-hmm.
There are no jobs. Our economy is headed off the cliff the way of Greece and Spain. And these jokers have not one single plan. It has been a litany of failed policies, one right after another. And all they can do is play the blame game. They sound like petulant teenagers. Nothing is my fault. It's everybody else's fault except their own. And it's embarrassing to have an administration like this. No one can stand up and have, you know, take any leadership and responsibility for anything except blame it on the previous president. And it's all very tiresome. In the meantime, our country is suffering.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what we've got going on. Our country is suffering.
Well, when Sherilyn is on the show, she speaks truth. Sherilyn, I hate to cut the interview short, but we've come to the end of the segment. Where can they find you on the internet?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter at Harley, H-A-R-L-E-Y, LeBron, L-E-B-O-N. I am always on Twitter, always tweeting out articles and town hall and political listas and everything else I've got. You can also find me on Facebook at Sherilyn, C-H-E-R-Y-L-Y-N, Harley LeBron. Love to engage with people on social media. I think it's our own brand of online activism, and I think that every American needs to be engaged right now because this is the future for our children and our grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
We can't afford to sit by and not be engaged. We have to. It's for the future of our country.
Absolutely. I also want to thank my guest, Congressman Paul Gosar from the wonderful state of Arizona. Coming up next is the Snark Factor with Fingers Malloy and the Snark Factor Players. Stay tuned for more coming up here on FTRradio.com. You've been listening to Gillespie for the last hour. Thanks. We'll be back again next week.
Speak like you used to.
It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are?